sang that song, and do remember him in prayer. And he's a very, very sick man, and we sent him some help from the church a couple of weeks ago. And but remember him, he's been in the hospital for a long time, five or six weeks at a time, or about 2 months at a time, come home a few days, had to go back, and he's just really, really having a battle. And so do pray for Jack Lassiter when you go to the Lord in prayer. He's a great evangelist. Me and Eddie was talking about him last night. He's got a good way about him. He's comical. He's a tremendous singer, tremendous preacher. And I told Eddie, I said, he's one of them fellows that got five talents. And God has used him a lot and to get a lot of people saved. And it'll only be the grace of God and touch of God if he gets back up and able to get out again. So you pray for Brother Jack. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would please turn to John 5 this morning. John chapter 5. Preaching from these miracles that Jesus did in the Gospel of John, and we preached about when he turned the water to wine, and we preached about last week about the healing of the nobleman's son. And we want to look here today at this third miracle in John 5 and verse number 1. And the Bible said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these laid a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And as an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wished not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Thank you. May be seated. Father, we bow our unworthy heads, Lord, this morning to call upon the very worthy God. And Lord, to once again thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the blessing of salvation, greatest blessing there is in this life. We thank you, Lord, for being able to have a salvation, Lord, that saves us from an eternal hell. We're thankful we have a God that's great enough to keep us once we get saved. We're thankful for a plan that God has put together that when we do stumble and fall, that you don't throw the clay away, but there's ever-present cleansing in the blood for us. And Father, we come this morning and we thank you for those that have come out this morning. Lord, we have empty seats, but we're thankful this morning they're not all empty. And Father, we thank you this morning that though we have, Lord, empty seats, Lord, we understand that there's still more people here this morning than Lord, we could be responsible for, really, Lord. And we thank you for each one that's come today, some for the first time, some have come many times. Lord, some have not been in a while, but we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. And Lord, may we be here for the right reason, Lord, to meet with the Lord and to get something from God. And I pray this morning if someone here in need of salvation that they've come to the right place. And Lord, I know you're interested in them much more than they are you. But I pray today that they might come be saved. Bless the church, strengthen it. Help us, Lord, as we sometimes grow weary in well-doing, that we won't faint, that we might reap. Now, Lord, have your way. Thank you again for my salvation. Thank you for being able to cleanse my hands, spiritual hands and spiritual feet today, because I sure want to have a part with you. And Lord, we're careful to thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. John wrote in John chapter 20, and he's telling about what Jesus had done after the resurrection. And in verse 30, he said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book," the book of John. "But these things," what John has wrote, "are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So the book of John is wrote for that purpose and for that reason. We have already looked at where Jesus turned the water to wine. The emphasis there and these first three miracles, they show us about salvation and the emphasis. And when he turned the water to wine, the emphasis is upon the Word, because he told them to fill those vessels up, which are a type of us, earthen vessels. There were six of them. He told them to fill them up, six being the number of man. He told them to fill them up with water. In the Bible, the Word of God is pictured as water. Ephesians 5, the Bible talks about being washed with the water of the Word. The Bible says in Psalms 119, the Bible said in verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." And so there's many places in the Bible that the Word of God is like water. And water is instrumental in salvation. And meaning the Word is instrumental in salvation. Without the Word, you cannot be saved. The next miracle that we look at is where the Bible says that he heals the nobleman's son. The emphasis in that miracle is upon faith. Jesus told him to go thy way, and he believed the Word, and he went his way, and he found that his son that was nigh death, and at the point of death, he found that when he believed the Word, it was in that hour when he believed the Word that his son was made whole. You can't be saved without faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word. So you got to have the Word to be saved. You got to have faith to be saved. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I understand that verse to mean that the faith is a gift of God. The grace is a gift of God. And in this miracle that we're looking at today, this third miracle here in the Bible, the emphasis in this miracle is upon grace. Because without grace, none of us would be saved today. When we look at this place here that we're reading about, this place called Bethesda there, the Bible says that word Bethesda, the word Bethesda means the house of mercy. Or in other words, a house of grace. And that's what the Lord's church is. It's a house of grace. Thank God for the grace of God. When we look here at this place called Bethesda, this house of grace, there's a pool there. The Bible said that pool there, the Bible said there were five porches that laid around that pool. And at a certain time, an angel would go down and trouble the water. And then the Bible said this, and it's a picture of grace. The Bible said there in verse 4, he said he'd go down and he'd trouble the water and whosoever. I'm glad that grace is for whosoever. Thank God this morning it's not just for a specific class of people, but I thank God that it's for whosoever. And then he says there that pool was for whosoever. And then when they got down in it, when it was troubled, whensoever it was troubled, the Bible says that whatsoever, I'm glad grace is for whatsoever. You say, what do you mean? Well, there was a multitude of people laying here. They were all sick, but they were not all sick alike. They all had different problems, different types of sickness. And so it is today, as we talked about in Sunday school, some might have a problem with this sin and some with that sin. And doesn't really matter what kind of sin your problem's with. The good thing is that grace is for whatsoever and whosoever that God is able to help you, and God wants to help you. That's the good news. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people that could help us this morning, but they don't want to. But thank God this morning that God's not that way. God can help, and God wants to help this morning. When we look here this morning, I want to look at a few things today as I try to preach today. And I want to look here at the Bible talks about this multitude or company of people that is laying here. The Bible describes them as impotent folks without ability, unable, without the power, if you will. And then he said blind folks, folks that can't see. And then he says they're halt, folks that can't hardly walk and kind of crippled up a little bit. And then he said those that are withering or drying up or dying. He said they're all waiting for the moving of the water. These are all people here that are in need of grace to help them in the situation that they are in. Now, all of these people here, they all are sick in different ways, but they all need the same kind of grace. They all need healing grace. They're all sick and they all need healing grace. Can I tell you, as I said, all sinners are not the same, but all sinners need the same kind of grace. They need saving grace. Now, there's all kinds of grace in the Bible. There's manifold, many different types of grace. Grace to serve, grace to die. All kinds of grace. But the first grace that any sinner needs is saving grace. And we look here this morning and we see this multitude laying there, and we see that they have a need this morning of something to happen in their life. They need the grace of God to come to them and make them whole. Well, the Bible says that there is the master here of Christ, the Lord Jesus, and we see grace in him because we see that Jesus came to where they were. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad this morning that he came to where I am. You say, why? Because as Brother Bill sings, I couldn't get up there to where he is. I'm glad that grace came down to where that we are, and it's seen in the picture of Jesus as he came down to where all of these people were. Then I like the word it uses here. He didn't say that there was John laying there, or there was Bill laying there, or there was Tom laying there. But he said a certain man. I like that. You say, why? Because that can be anybody, thank God. Whenever the Bible uses terms like that, it's an indication that you can put yourself in the text. And whatever's happened there to that man could happen to you. The Bible said there was a certain rich man in Luke 16. The Bible said that that certain rich man, he lived sumptuously every day. There was laid at his gate a beggar named Lazarus, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But the Bible said that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's a certain man. Anybody can go to hell that's not saved. Anybody can and will go to hell that's not saved. We find many places in the Bible where it uses that term, a certain man. And can I tell you that what happened to this certain man here in this text could happen to any certain man, anybody. It could be made whole spiritually like this man is made whole physically. You say, Brother Rick, there was a great multitude of people laying there, and why didn't Jesus heal them all? Why did he just pick out this one man, and why didn't he heal them all? Well, I've thought about that, and I believe I found the answer in this book, John. In chapter 2, the Bible says there in verse 24, the Bible says, let's read verse 23. The Bible said, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he need not, he said, that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knows what's in you, and Jesus knows what's in me today. I think through the perception of Jesus, he saw this certain man there, and he knew here was a man that wanted to be made whole, maybe worse than any of the rest of them. Here was a man that Jesus knew would believe what he said, and so he goes to him as an example of what happened to him could happen to all of those people that were laying there if they all would have responded like this man responded. Can I tell you, it's been said that God will save anybody. That's a partial truth. God will save anybody that will come the way God says come and do what God says do. If you're not willing to do that, God won't save you. You see, you've got to come. You've got to repent of your sin of unbelief. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts a lost sinner of, is the sin of unbelief, the fact that you have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17, Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because he said, if I don't go away, he said, the Comforter will not come. But when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, why? Because you believe not on me, Jesus said. There's no way in the world that you could come to the altar this morning, get down right there, and tell God every sin you committed. You might do it in a general sense. You might say, God, forgive me of all of my sins. But you couldn't write down every cuss word you've ever said. You couldn't write down every time you've ever lusted. You couldn't write down every time that you've ever coveted. You couldn't write down every time you ever lied. You couldn't write down every time that you didn't do what God told you to do. But I tell you what you could do. You could get down there and say, Lord, I never have believed on you as Savior. But today I'm coming and I'm repenting of my unbelief. And I believe that you are the Savior of the world. And Lord, when I believe upon you as the Savior of the world, I believe that you'll wipe away all sins in my past because I can't remember them all. But God, you can. Amen. Isn't that good? The Bible said he came to where he was. It was a certain man. And then I see this conversation Jesus had. He walks up to this man and he says, wilt thou be made whole? That's what the Lord says to every sinner. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be saved? You see, the Holy Spirit does not deal with sinners that are lost and fallen. He does not come to them and say, do you know where Cain got his wife? He does not come to them and say, do you know who the Antichrist is going to be? He doesn't come to them and say, do you understand the tribulation and all that's going on and the millennial reign that someday when Christ will rule and reign here on earth for 1,000 years? Oh no. First of all, he comes, and the first thing he does is you need to be diagnosed as a lost sinner that you're lost and dying and going to hell, and the great physician has already done that. You say, preacher, how do I know that I'm lost? How do I know that I'm condemned? Well, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But it said God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Bible said here is condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But I want you to understand that the condemnation is already there. We've already been condemned as sinners. The wages of sin is death, the Bible said. We've already come short of the glory of God. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. But I want you to understand, my friend, that God comes and he says, will you be made whole? In essence, that's a way that he's saying to you and me this morning, if you're lost, do you want to be saved? Would you like to be made whole spiritually? Why does the Bible use that term, made whole? Because there's a part of their physical body that's not working right. In other words, they may have a withered limb. They may have a crippled leg. There's a part of them that's missing, if you will. There's a part of them that's not working right. Can I tell you that every lost person has a piece missing in you? You see that piece that's missing. Adam lost when he sinned. And when we get saved and God puts the Spirit of God back in us, that missing piece goes in, and then you're made whole. You see, you're made whole as God would have us to be made whole. The Bible said that he comes. And then I see this. The Bible said he came. You know, that he could have come, but he could have not seen this man. But the Bible said when Jesus seen him, I'm glad that Jesus seen me one day. Amen. The Bible said when Jesus seen him, and then you know what? You've probably been driving down the road, and you've probably seen some poor person there on the side of the road. Maybe they had a little sign out, and they said, we'll work for food, or need a ride, or some other thing on it. And you could look at them and physically tell that they were really seriously in need. And you saw them, you knew that they had a need. But for whatever reason, you just passed them by. You saw them, but you didn't do anything. It was kind of like the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Bible said that the others walked past them and went on the other side of the road. They saw them, but they didn't do anything. But the Bible said that Jesus saw this man, and when he saw him, he was sympathetic toward him. Because he said Jesus saw him lie and knew it had been a long time in that case. Jesus knows everything. He knew exactly how long that this man had been in this condition. And he was sympathetic toward him. The Bible said as our great high priest, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible said he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Someone said, preacher, how could Jesus be tempted in all points? He wasn't married, so how would he know how I feel when my marriage fell apart and I had to get a divorce, got a divorce and lost my husband, lost my wife? How does he know how I feel? You say, preacher, Jesus wasn't married. He didn't have any physical children, so to speak. He don't know how I feel this morning when I lost my son or when I lost my daughter. He don't know how I feel. You say, preacher, Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life. He was never on drugs or alcohol, and he don't know how I feel. How could he know how I feel? Well, my explanation for that is when Jesus was on the cross dying, somehow or another in 6 hours on the cross, he suffered all that a lost soul would suffer in eternal hell. In 6 hours, God let him suffer that on the cross. In the same way, God allowed him somehow to miraculously know, because he is God and knows all things. He knows how you feel this morning. And I want you to know he's sympathetic toward you today, and the struggles you're having and the battles you're having, he's sympathetic toward you today. And especially if you're here today and you're lost and never been saved, he's sympathetic in the fact that one day if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And he don't want anybody to go to hell. God's not willing that any perish, but that all, every single one, that all would come to repentance. Amen. That all would be saved. That's what the Lord wants this morning. But then he said, wilt thou be made whole? You say, what was that? That was his words. Wilt thou be made whole? Five words. You say, what those words do? They started faith. Here's a man, 38 years, an afflicted cripple. And somebody walks up and says, wilt thou make me made whole? The first thought that runs through your mind is there's a chance I might could be made whole. There's a chance that maybe, let me tell you something, when you're in the condition this man's in, you grasp at anything. And here was a man that come by and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And I think something leaped inside of that man. I think the words that Jesus spoke were spiritual words, and they were faith-building words. I'm glad one day the Word of God spoke to my heart, and you know what it did? It started faith growing. And without the Word, you can't be saved. And Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? I want you to look here at this man, or his condition, if you will. We looked at it here, and he said, and a certain man was there. The Bible says that this certain man, which had an infirmity 38 years, it's a perfect picture of why that salvation must be by grace. And I want you to understand that this morning, if you don't get anything else I say, that salvation is 100% totally by grace. If it wasn't, it's not 99.9% grace and the other point human effort. No, no, salvation is totally, completely by grace. You see, people don't understand that. If they did, they wouldn't make statements like this. Well, I'd get saved, but I'm afraid I couldn't live it. You see, salvation is totally 100% by grace. Salvation is totally what God done. It's all of God. Without God, we couldn't be saved. God gave the word. God sent his son. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. God approached us. It was Jesus that came to where this man was, not him that came to where Jesus was. It's all by grace. And when we look here this morning, we see that this man has a problem. You say, what's his problem? Jesus said, sir, wilt thou be made whole? Look at this first next words. And the man answered and said, I have no man. I don't have anybody to help me. Can I tell you, my friend, when it comes to the matter of salvation, nobody can help you but Jesus. When it comes to the literal thing of being saved, nobody can do that work but Jesus. He said, sir, I have no man. The Pope can't help you. Can I tell you this morning that the person doing the baptizing can't help you? Can I tell you that the preacher, he can't help you. He can give you the word, but he can't save you. Saving is something only the Lord can do. The church can't save you. Someone said, if you join our church, you'd be saved. You can join this church all day long. We wouldn't let you join anyway if you wasn't saved. But I'll tell you this, you can't join this church and be saved. You can't go into the baptistry pool and be saved. You can't live a good enough life to be saved. Salvation is all by grace. It's all by grace, thank God. I'll tell you, for many years I didn't understand all that. But I'll tell you what convinced me, reading the Word of God and watching people. For 32 years I've been preaching the Word of God. And I've been watching people. You know what? I've watched all people. Watched myself. And I found out, Brother Gordon, that no matter how good a person is, that no matter how straight a line they walk, no matter how much they serve Jesus, if you watch them long enough, somewhere they'll let you down. Somewhere you'll see the flesh in them. Somewhere you'll see that old Adamic nature in them. And that brought me to this grand conclusion one day, that if salvation is not by the grace of God, there will not be one single person in heaven but Jesus. You say, why? Because all men are sinners and all men do sin. And all men are going to continue to sin until they get a glorified body and enter into heaven. And therefore, we could never be saved by our own works. But salvation is totally by grace. Amen. Amen. Look at his past. 38 years he's been in this condition. I was talking to a fellow last year, and we talked for a while, and I said, sir, you say? He said, I'm working on it. You ever heard that? I'm working on it. I said, sir, how old are you? He said, 60 some years old. I said, you've been working on it a while, hadn't you? He said, yeah. I said, I don't believe you're going to be able to get it done. If we could do it, we'd do it, but we can't do it, you see. That's why he said, no man can help me. You know, I never noticed this before until I was studying this week and was reading it here. But you see, this man, I always looked at him as a total, complete cripple. But not so, because look what he said. He says there, He said, "Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into his pool. But why I'm coming." Never noticed that before. While I'm coming. Here was a man that was somehow an afflicted cripple. But he still had a little effort. He was still trying to do something on his own. And I don't know if he was doing like this. I don't know if he was down crawling. I don't know what he was doing, but he was trying to do something on his own. And he said, "I'm trying to do what I can do, but it's not working. It's not working." As hard as he tried, he couldn't get himself in. Something always happened. He always failed somewhere. Amen. You say, "How'd he get in? How'd he get in? Why didn't somebody else help him? They got their own problems. They're trying to get in." Man, I feel the Lord. We're talking about grace. Woo! How did it get in? Jesus came to where he was. Jesus came. You say, "What Jesus do?" He done what he could do and what nobody else could do. Why did Jesus do that? Because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came. You see, the only way to get in is for Jesus to put you in. Amen. You see, if I had the church book up here this morning and that was it, I'd say, "What's your name, sir?" You say, "My name's John Doe, and I want to get in the church." "All right, John Doe, you got in on June 24th, 2012, 12 o'clock. He says, "Thank God I got in. I'm in the church. But one day the rapture takes place. One day he dies and he goes to heaven. And he says, 'Lord, I want to get in.'" He said, "All right." "Said, why you think you ought to get in?" He said, "Well, down at Bethel Baptist Church in Glasgow, Kentucky, I went up and I told the pastor and the members I wanted to get in. And they put my name on the church book and they wrote it down there at 12 o'clock on June the 24th, and I'm in." And the Lord would say something like this, "Son, they can't put you in. I'm the only one that can put you in." I told him last night, another message, I was telling him that I drove hundreds of miles. I drove hundreds of miles, year after year, 9 or 10 states, preaching the Word of God. I couldn't tell you how many times I drove 700, 800, 900 miles and wore out when I get there. Get out, pull up to a place, go into that place with my luggage and bags and go in and say, "Sir, my name's Rick Prophet. I need a room. Do you have a room for me?" And he says, "Let's see here, Rick Prophet. Yes, we've been expecting you. We have a room for you and all things are paid for. I just go on in and enjoy it. I'm glad, glory to God, one of these days we're going to go to the glory world. I'm glad if you've made reservations and you know Jesus and you walk in there, you're going to say, 'I need a room.'" And Jesus say, "We've been waiting for you. We've been expecting you. It's all paid for. Come on in. Thank God you got a room." Hallelujah. You see, that's all by grace. It's all by grace. But his problem was, and his past was, that for 38 years he'd been trying to get in. And some of you this morning, bless your heart, for 15 or 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe 60 years, maybe 65 years, you've been trying to get in. But your past shows you're crawling, crippled, weak failures. As you try to go and then somebody steps down in front of you, there's some kind of a problem. There's always something there. You see our efforts. Don't you think that'd been pitiful to see that man
down at that pool, and them waters go to troubling, and to see that man getting up, trying to get to that pool, that would have been pitiful, wouldn't it? Been pitiful sight to see that poor man trying to get to that pool. Can I tell you, it's a pitiful sight to God to see poor sinners trying to get to heaven on their own works and in their own ways. Amen. But you see, that's why grace came. And Jesus came right to where he was. Now let's look here in the last few minutes at the miracle or this man's conversion. The Bible says here in verse number 9, Jesus said unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. You say, what are you saying? Well, the Bible said that in this book, John wrote that the law was given by Moses, but grace, that's what we're preaching about this morning, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You say, where's the law at in this thing, Brother Rick? Verse 10. You see, after the man was made whole, the Bible said immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, that's a law thing. And the Jews, them's law people, therefore said unto him that was cured, "It's a Sabbath day, it's not law." There it is, lawful. You say, what's going on there? Everything I read there is condemning the wrong day, the wrong way. You see, everything there is condemning. You know what the law does? The law condemns. That's what the law does. The law condemns. You see, the law is trying to get to heaven by the flesh. And the reason God gave the law was to show you his holiness is too high for anybody to ever obtain on their own. That's the purpose of the law. Bible said in Galatians, which is a book of grace. The Bible said in the book of Galatians, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was telling this man, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. But the Bible said in Jesus came. You see, the law couldn't do for him what he needed to do. All the law could do was criticize him. Those Jews couldn't make him whole. They're more concerned about condemning him. But Jesus came. You said he did this on the Sabbath. That's right. You say, why did he do it on the Sabbath? Because Christ, glory to God, because Christ is the end of the law. Whoa! Glory, hallelujah. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When this man stood up, he didn't need a law no more. The law's not for a righteous man. Amen. This man, you see, his cure was not in that water. His cure was not in anybody around there. His cure was in grace, and Jesus is grace. His cure was in Jesus. Thank God. I don't care what kind of sickness you got. I don't care if you got a dope sickness. I don't care if you got a sexual sickness. I don't care if you have a self-righteous sickness. I don't care if you have a moral sickness. I don't care if you have a marriage sickness. I don't care if you have adultery sickness. I don't care if you have fornication sickness. Your cure this morning's in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace and truth came by Jesus. You see, grace cured him. But you see, grace doesn't criticize. It was the law that criticized. But you know what grace did? Grace is the one that came to him. Grace is the one that found him in the temple. Amen. We see Jesus here, and grace cured him. But we see this here. Now, I don't know how he got there. I don't know if he had family members that helped him get there. I don't know if he crippled his way there and left weeks earlier to get there. I don't know how he got there. But I know how he left. Amen. You say he left walking? Yes. Matter of fact, when he met them, the law, he met them Jews. When he met them on the Sabbath day, he's got his little cot rolled up. Because Jesus said, take that up. And he took that up and he put that on him and he's walking. You say, how's he walking, Grace? You say, he's carrying his bed. Yeah, but Grace is carrying him. You say, how's he getting home? I don't know who brought him. I don't know how he got there, but I know how he's getting home. Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and trials, I have already come. I was grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will take me home, thank God. Hallelujah. I know how this poor sinner here is getting home. By grace, thank God. By grace, thank God. Hallelujah. Grace carried him home. Glory to God. Ain't God wonderful? Ain't God merciful? Amen. But then grace cured him. Grace didn't criticize him. Grace carried him home. But grace did caution him. And grace said, go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. You say, what's that mean? That means just stay with grace. Just stay with the Lord. Amen. Do you notice where that he was found after he was made whole? In the temple. You say, why is that? Because the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us after we get saved, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, looking for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Bible said, for by grace. Say that with me. For by grace are ye. Are you? For by grace are ye what? Saved. Hallelujah. You say, what's that mean? That means I ain't going to hell. Thank God. That means I got a reservation up there. That means I'm going home when this life's over. And you say, how you going to get there? Brother Lance, grace is going to carry me home. Thank God. Hallelujah. For by grace are ye saved. Now say this with me. And that not of yourself. For it is a gift of God. See, that's what it was here. It's just a gift. I mean, the Lord just walked up. Said, you want to be made whole? You're whole. He wanted to, so you're whole. How's your warner this morning? You want to be saved? Just do what he says. You're saved. Amen. The simple plan of salvation, thank God, by grace through faith. And the man's made whole. Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. You owe me $500. No, this is not Benny Hinn. This is Jesus. Just go your way. It's all free. Compliments of your Father in heaven. Thank God for grace. Lord, I thank you this morning for salvation by grace. I'm glad there's something that I wanted. I couldn't afford it, but somebody else paid for it for me, and now it's free. Lord, I'm glad there's something that when I had a terminal illness, an incurable illness, and no man could help me, that Jesus came and brought grace, died on the cross, gave his blood, and through faith it's the cure. And thank God I'm glad that in a world where all we do is worry and be concerned about things, as people here are concerned about losing their home or losing their job or losing their wife or their husband or losing their children, I'm glad one of the greatest things that there is, that God fixed it through grace. And he says, don't worry about that, son. You won't lose that. And I thank God for that this morning. And I pray this morning that, Lord, you sent this message today for a whole lot of people. It's already been made whole. To just remember, Lord, how he got it. But, Lord, you sent this message also because we've had lost people here for the last few weeks and are still here today that we know about. And, Lord, what they need to do is they need to come today. But all they can do is come. They need to come today. Jesus has already come to them through this message, through grace, through mercy. And they need to come today. And they just need to believe him because he's already believed for them. And they'd come today and be saved by the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand.